This episode is brought to you by Podcorn. Quite simply, and I love simplicity, Podcorn connects podcasters to advertising opportunities such as host-read ads, interview segments, topical discussions, and more. All right, here's why it's simple. There's no middleman. You, or in my case, I, as the podcaster, can easily browse and choose opportunities that are right for me and my show on their platform. And get this, you can set your rate and collaborate with brands directly without any exclusivities. Now, in this day and age where freedoms are infringed upon daily, be assured that you, the podcaster, never give up any rights to your podcast, and Podcorn supports you at every step to ensure you're protected and compensated for the work that you do for the brands you chose to have as a sponsor, don't forget. Now, I've made it my mission to try to only buy from and work with companies and have advertisers on this podcast that operate ethically and with transparency, and that's Podcorn's mission, to give podcasters transparency, along with creative freedom and full control of how and when you, the podcaster, monetize. Simple, direct, transparent. Podcorn, I definitely put it on the list of things pro.
Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and special than the rest of us. In one word, amateurs.
It's Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills and are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation. It's not just a podcast, it's a movement. And this is episode 112. And my first guest since I've moved back to the great state of Ohio where I was raised, radio veteran, former roommate, and great laugher, Brian the Hyena Kelly. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Thanks, man. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me. I can't wait to get in this and talk about things in the world that are so messed up.
I'm glad to have you here. Let me just say what an honor and a privilege it is for you to be on this show.
I really appreciate it, man.
Quick business first. This show is now heard on Player FM, so that's 16 different podcast platforms you can hear this show. As I said, today's show is a very special guest. He's my friend since, I'd say, what, 1990?
Somewhere around there.
Is that where we met? Yeah. He was my former roommate from back in the day when we worked together at the radio station Rock 107 WRQK in Canton, Ohio. I was a groomsman in your wedding.
Yes, you were.
I walked your mom down the aisle, right?
Bobby's mom.
Yeah, your wife's mom. Yep. That's right, yeah. And most importantly, I walked in on him and his now wife of 27 years.
Here we go.
27 years while they were having sex. If you take away anything from this episode, I have seen my guest and his wife having sex.
How do we look?
Oh, it was just a side view. I really wasn't looking at you. And I've said this before. Your wife had nice cans then. She's got good cans now.
Oh, man. I
will never let you forget
you're
that.
Something else.
I've performed at the Funny Stop, my hometown comedy club here in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. And Brian and his wife were actually in the front row. And I mentioned that on stage. You were laughing. Your wife just, hand in her.
When she hears this.
Yeah. I was on the radio in Northeast Ohio for a total of 11 years. How long were you?
All I know is I was on the air for 16 years. In Ohio and Florida.
Go in order.
All right.
Where's
WGCL
your first one?
Was first in Cleveland.
Wow, you started there first.
Yep.
Good deal.
I had some great friends and mentors like Dave Sharp and Uncle Vic and Dance of Danny Wright.
So Dance of Danny Wright's the reason I got into radio.
Really?
Yeah, I used to listen to him my senior year of high school. I remember thinking, man, if I ever did radio, that's how I want to sound. Dance of Danny Wright always seemed like he was just having fun.
He was. Outstanding.
Right, and he didn't put on this voice like this. He didn't talk like, you could tell he sometimes forget to say the call letters, or he would just interject or come in too early, too late on a song or laugh at his own corny jokes or whatever. He just seemed like he was genuinely having a good time.
And I went to Alliance, Ohio, worked at Q92 and WFAH, the AM station. I did mornings there. And then from there, I went to Hot 95.9 WNPQ.
Right.
And then from there, I went to Rock 107.
Right. Okay. I knew NPQ went to Rock 107 where I was.
And at the same time, I was driving on the weekends, if you remember, the WNCI in Columbus, and I was doing a weekend show.
Oh, that's right. Was that Sunny 95? Is that what that was?
God, what was it, 98.9? It was a top 40 station.
Okay.
And then I went to WKDD at 96 FM.
Oh, I didn't know you were KDD.
Yep. I was there. And then from there, I went to WOMX, Mix 105.1 in Orlando. I hung it up in 2002.
Well, now you've reached the pinnacle because you're doing this podcast.
Yes.
See? So now you've done it all. I mean, you've reached the zenith.
I know. I've made it. Now I'm a rodeo clown. That's what I do full time now.
So we always had a good time on the radio. And at the time when I met Brian, I was doing 7 to midnight. Brian was doing overnights. He was doing midnight to 6 before he eventually went to mornings. We did indeed get a shot at doing mornings together.
Yes, we did. And we should have gotten it.
And the powers that be would not let it happen because they said the 7 to midnight slot would suffer, which I admit it, I'm not, stroking my ego here.
Ratings.
I had great ratings, and for 7 to midnight to be as strong as it was, they got ratings there that still haven't been beaten. Even if the ratings get cut in half, it'll still be really good, but the mornings will be insane.
I know.
But they just wouldn't let it happen. So let's just say that this podcast episode is our homecoming.
Yes.
And a long overdue reunion. And speaking of people from Rock 107, he and I have a mutual friend who's listening right now, AJ Battaglio.
Woo, Big Al.
Who is known as Alfonso Riley when he was at Rock 107.
Yes.
He wrote me, he said, "I love the show, quote, it makes me happy."
He's actually in Denver now.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Either mornings or afternoons in Denver.
My mistake.
Yes.
Okay. All right, cool. You ready to get at it?
I am. Let's do it.
Topic number one. From the New York Post, here's your headline. New York City school encourages kids to stop using words like mom and dad in inclusive language guide. All right, Brian, listen to this. I'll read a little bit from the article. A Manhattan private school aiming to use more, quote, inclusive language is encouraging its students to stop using the terms mom, dad, and parents because the words, quote, make assumptions about kids' home lives. The Grace Church School in NoHo, which offers an academic courses for junior kindergarten through 12th grade, issued a 12-page guide to students and staff explaining the school's mission of inclusivity. Actually, how about the mission of educating? It's not your job to be the social workers there, but I digress. The detailed guide recommends using the terms grown-ups, folks. What is this? Hee-haw?
Yeah, right.
Family or guardians as alternatives to mom, dad, and parents. It also suggests using caregiver instead of nanny or babysitter. Families are formed and structured in many ways. At Grace Church School, we use inclusive language that reflects this diversity. Brian, chime in here, because it says, it's important to refrain from making assumptions about kids who live with, who cares for them, whether they sleep in the same place every night, whether they see their parents, etc. First of all, why is it, quote, important to refrain from making assumptions? Whose role is that? Making assumptions that a child has parents, well, why they feel like, well, it's important then? No, that is their dogma, the Grace Church School. Why are they the watchdog? Why are they the guardians at the gate where they decide, well, it's important to? Well, who says? You did? This is the role of Amateur Nation. They know what's right for you. You don't know what's right for you.
Amen.
And I've never been a parent, as far as I know. If you think I might be, please email me, Lou@Lucy. No, you have a daughter. She's an only child like I am.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say if Lauren came home and said, we just got this 12-page thing in the mail, you have to read it, and they're suggesting that I don't call you mom and dad anymore. I'm sorry, I'm not a parent. That would make me furious.
I don't understand it. What do they call me now? Because I'm the male. Am I in the semen? And my wife's the egg?
Egg!
Hey, semen, get over here.
The document also states how to use appropriate terms relating to gender, sexual orientation, race, and ethnicity. And it says, instead of asking a person, what are you? Where are you from? The query should be, what is your cultural/ethnic background? Yes, because teenagers talk like this, or little kids, most of all. What are your ancestors, or where is your family from? Isn't this just semantics? This is just wording.
It is.
Kelly, that's Irish. Is that Irish?
Yeah.
I mean, are you 100%, or is it a mix? What?
A fourth.
Okay. Are you offended?
I am now.
You didn't realize it until you were told to be offended.
Right.
Sidebar, I was doing a show at a comedy club in Burbank, right? I was doing crowd work, and there was this couple in the front row. I mean, I'll just say it. They were both insanely good looking. It's the typical LA supermodel good looking couple. I'm on stage and they're both blonde haired, blue eyed. I mean, they're just really good looking. I'm doing crowd work and they're laughing at my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just doing crowd work. I didn't know if they were married or dating or what. I said, if you don't mind me asking, what's your ethnicity? And the girl goes, what do you mean? And I said, well, what is your heritage? And no joke, she goes, Texas? I mean, the crowd lost its mind. You know, obviously she doesn't know what ethnicity or heritage means. And she didn't even say, still would have been wrong if she would have said Texan. I'm a Texan. I was, you know, was raised in Texas. We're Ohioans.
Right.
But she just goes, Texas? And then to top it all off, she says it as a question.
What did you say now?
I know I said something like, you must be incredible in bed. But my point is, they weren't offended. I was just curious about what their heritage was. Yeah. I didn't know their last names, mm-hmm. their fair skin. They could be Danish, Swedish, Irish. See, this is how it starts. Amateur Nation just wants to water it down. They're going to start you off with semantics first. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to tell you that you can't even ask that at all. They, as I've said before, Amateur Nation, everyone must be the same. For equality to happen, we all have to be the same. Mm-hmm. Financially, spiritually, mentally, socially, in our jobs, income. Pick one, but celebrate our diversity. You can't have it both ways. And that's the thing, the difference between accepting and being tolerant or even appreciating other races, ethnicities, sexual orientations like that, and celebrate. I don't have time to celebrate everyone's. I mean, I've known you for how many years now?
Forever.
I love you, man, but I'm not celebrating everything about the glory that is Brian Kelly. I have a life to live. Reverend Robert Penoyer, saying his name right, assistant head of the school, said in a statement, Grace is an Episcopal school. As part of our Episcopal identity, we recognize the dignity and worth common to humanity. Actually, you are wrong. By telling students, hey, don't call your mom and dad mom and dad, you're not recognizing the dignity and worth common to humanity. I mean, that is one of the most basic fundamental things for your daughter to be able to call you dad and mom. And they're saying that, well, we're doing this to recognize the dignity and worth common to humanity. You literally are making an effort to strip the dignity, pride, and frankly, privacy of each student's home life by spreading the propaganda, programming, and dehumanizing actions of, once again, per Amateur Nation, making sure everyone is the same, yet somehow we're supposed to recognize and, yes, even celebrate our differences. The messages they're getting is this. You're all the same. You are all different. Recognize the differences. Now repeat. You're all the same. You don't have a mom or dad. We know some of you do, but that's irrelevant. In order to show you're the same as the students who may not have two biological heterosexual parents, we will now sign a specific label. Learn it. Am I wrong? This is one day.
Baffled.
Right? So now, let's say you're in that school starting in kindergarten. By the time you're out there after 12 years, you can't tell me you're not indoctrinated. You're programmed.
Yeah, you're right. I'd be crushed if my daughter came home and called me something else.
This does not mean, of course, that children can't be loved or cared for in a gay couple's home or a single parent home.
Sure.
That's ludicrous. Of course they can.
Sure.
But once again, Amateur Nation feels the need to stick its nose where it doesn't belong. I know for a fact that if I came home from school at any age, K through 12, and I told my parents, and by the way, I have a mother and a stepfather who raised me and did a hell of a job, that I should not call them mom and dad, I would be talking to my mom behind plexiglass using one of those phones to communicate because she'd be in prison for assault.
Oh, yeah. My mom, too, as well as my stepfather, bless his heart, he's dead, but you know, if he was still around.
You don't get between a child and their parent. You just don't. The government, actually no entity, should come between a parent and his or her child. That is absolutely overstepping, reprehensible, and morally bankrupt. Topic number two. Now, I don't know about you, but I simply don't miss the social media friends or real-life friends that muted, blocked, and or deleted me during the last 12 months simply due to differences in opinion. I do, however, now appreciate more my friends that I know have differences in political and social views than I, who are still my friends, and we still peacefully coexist and remain friends, because that's maturity. Mm-hmm. That's pro. A few weeks ago, I posted this on Facebook. I pose the question, have you lost friends and or followers, whether in real life or via social media since March of 2020, due to differences in political and or social views? And if so, who initiated the disconnect? A friend of the show and fellow pro Jeanette Guglielma Costello said this. She said, I've had a few friends unfriend me because of my strong support of President Trump. Friends that were only my friends because we went to school together anyway, so no loss. You know the ones who claim to be very inclusive of everyone? They mean everyone who thinks like they do. I've been told many times by people who even support Trump, I should be careful what I post because I could lose clients. If someone does, she's a hairdresser, by the way. She says,
one of the best.
Yes. And she says, if someone doesn't want to come to me because of what I stand for and who I vote for, I don't want them in my chair anyways. I won't be silenced or canceled. I actually had a client for many years, and she was my former school teacher who isn't a Facebook friend, so she had no idea who I supported. One day last year, she looked at me and said, you're not a Trump supporter, are you? First of all, that's rude. Forget about the Trump. Forget about Democrat or Republican. It's just rude. It's like, you're not blank, are you? You're not married, are you? You're not single, are you? You're not gay, are you? You're not a Christian, are you? Phrasing a question like that is so incredibly rude because it's very passive aggressive. And frankly, it's none of your goddamn business.
Exactly.
Anyway, Jeanette said, I said, you probably shouldn't ask me a question you may not want the answer to. She never came back until last February and asked if I would take her back. Jeanette says, of course, I said yes. I'm not the one who told her she couldn't. I just don't discuss politics in my chair, but if they start talking about it, I won't pretend I agree with them when I don't. That's pro.
Sure is.
Fellow pro Don Hoot of Canton, Ohio, messaged me this. He said, to be honest, I lost a few Facebook friends over the whole mask thing and the President Trump-Biden thing. However, I gained even more than I lost through finding like-minded people. So overall, I feel better off knowing I am not alone in my thinking.
Good point.
So I might add that there have been people that I would have normally called in my life, like, you're my friend, but I have other people I call acquaintances, mm-hmm. or business friends, or people I would always see like at comedy clubs or acting sure. jobs, things like that, that I've actually grown closer to during the pandemic and the shutdown. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have fewer high-quality friends than dozens of surface hangers-on and drains of my energy. Here's a quote that I stumbled upon that rings true. You don't lose friends because real friends can never be lost. You lose people masquerading as friends, and you're better for it. And when it comes to all that's gone on in the world over the last 12 months, as I said on episode 103, the episode entitled Companies Feeding Amateur Nation, doing the right thing isn't always popular, and doing what's popular isn't always the right thing. And to that order, I saw a former Facebook friend of mine post this, and I'll tell you why I have a problem with it. Out of nowhere, this was unrelated to anything going on in the news. It wasn't related to a story that he had copied and pasted with a link. He just types, if you're going to unfriend or block me because I speak out against racism, go ahead. And there it is. There is the difference between pros and amateurs. Pros don't need to talk about how and or why they are or were against racism, or constantly proclaim from the rooftops that they love thy neighbor, or that they take care of their children, or that they even did a simple good deed. Pros don't need to talk about it, mm-hmm. because they mind their own business. They take care of their own backyard. They just do it. They treat people with common sense, manners, and good social skills. They don't need to broadcast that they are good and do good. What that really is, hey, over here, mm-hmm. look at me.
Yep.
I'm against racism.
Yep.
And I'm going to word this in a way that makes me sound strong and defiant, like I'm fighting the good fight and vigilant.
Yes,
here's
it is.
The sad thing. I know this guy. He's a good guy. And I always liked this guy. And you know why I liked him? Because I saw how he lived his life. I saw how he treated people. Equally with common sense, manners, and good social skills, until he felt the need to remind all of us not only, hey, I'm against racism, but also, and if you have a problem with that, fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm looking at you in a different way now. As I get people have really shown their character and or lack thereof these last 12 months, whether it's political or social issues, things like that. It's just the idea that the grandstanding, and this goes beyond virtue signaling. This is like he's making a threat that he knows he never has to carry out. Because he says, if you're going to unfriend me or block me, go ahead. So the average person on Facebook, let's just say they have even 200 friends, right? Right. Are you going to notice if four are missing?
Nope.
And if you've got 5,000 friends, which is the max, are you certainly going to miss if even 200 are missing?
Nope.
Are you checking that list every day? Hey, where did Steve Johnson go?
Right. I don't even know who this guy is.
Right, right. You know, and I admit, every now and then I clean house and get like, who's this person? And
right.
I like to think like, oh, they're probably a fan of the show. So like that's why I have a personal account and I have my, you know, Lou Santini Entertainment account.
Yes.
But I also keep track. So I have not deleted anyone from my social media friends list, as long as they didn't speak out against me. But when I see like, wow, their posts are like full on hostile, unsolicited attacks. And the, you know, all they talk about is unity and tolerance and inclusivity and diversity. And then it's like, I hate everyone who doesn't
very
agree with me.
Yeah.
You're not of the character I thought you were.
Right.
Pros don't care about your sexuality. They don't care about your religion, your politics, as long as you don't tell them that they're horrible people because they don't believe like you do.
Mm-hmm.
Amateurs need, and I use that word exactly right, amateurs need you to care and celebrate their heritage and sexuality. Why do they need you to recognize and celebrate their accomplishment of being their race? Congratulations. Hey, Brian, I'm going to shake your hand.
Hey, thanks, man.
Hey, good job being Irish, man.
Appreciate it.
Well done. You crushed it.
Thanks.
When you were born and you,
thank you.
I mean, when you were in the womb and you were ticking the box of the race that you chose to be. Also, congratulations on being 6'4 and a half.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
you did great with that.
I don't know what to call my parents, but thank you.
Why do they need you to recognize and celebrate their accomplishment of their race and who they want to have sex with or how they identify? Very simple. They have nothing else going on and nothing else to offer.
Touche.
That and their victimhood. Pros don't care because we're trying to live our lives and be among other pros. Pros are inherently against racism. Amateurs say they are against it, and maybe they are, but they always have to be reminding you that they are against racism or sexism or oppression or any of the obvious bad things. Hey, Brian, are you against murder? I'm totally against murder.
Me too.
Are you against child trafficking? Because I'm totally against child trafficking.
I am too.
Yeah, I just didn't know if you were. Well, you never say it,
yeah,
Brian.
I am.
How will I know you're against child trafficking, Brian, unless you tell me?
I'd have to whisper it into your ear.
All right, so Brian, for me, from now on, if things that you're against, I need to know, but I also need you to threaten me that if I don't agree with you, then we're done
as friends.
I don't
like milk.
You're milkist. you're lactosist? I don't know what that is.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, amateurs say they're against it. Maybe they are. They always have to be reminding you, but they never seem to be against corruption. They never seem to be against lying and, oh, I don't know, things like hiding facts and having anti-American sentiments. You never hear them saying anything about anti-patriotism sentiments, right? But they are against the easy things. It's easy to be against racism. Doy. They're against the easy things, and they'll never let you stop hearing about it. And if you don't talk about it constantly, somehow, you're a bad person. That's not how it works, amateurs. Pros get shit done. Amateurs talk about getting shit done. Quick reminder to follow me on Instagram at LouSantini3 and on Facebook at facebook.com/LouSantiniEntertainment. We'll be right back in about 60 seconds.
If you're a podcaster, new or established, whether with a huge audience or just starting out, and you've found your audience, there's going to come a time when you want to connect those listeners with products and services that you yourself would want to use and or try. You know, monetize. Enter Podcorn. Podcorn connects podcasters to advertisers via host-read ads, interview segments, and topical discussions, and a whole bunch more. I like it for its simplicity. Here's what I do. I get emails from advertisers who are looking for podcasts to showcase their products or services. I scan the list Podcorn provides, see the ones I think I might like to use myself or might be beneficial to my listeners. I then set my rate, they reach out, and we get the ball rolling with what they want to say in their ad. I collaborate with brands directly without any exclusivities. Plus, I never give up any rights to my show. I get Podcorn support every step of the way, so I'm protected and compensated for the work that I do. Podcorn's mission, to give podcasters transparency, along with creative freedom and full control of how and when you, the podcaster, monetize. It's simple, direct, transparent, and for me, in my control. Podcorn.
Topic number three. Here's your headline from BBC.com. Disney parks to reopen, but no screaming, please. Disney has announced plans to reopen its two theme parks in California next month. But new rules mean visitors will still feel the impact of pandemic. The firm will limit attendance, require a mask for those aged 2 and above, and have temperature screenings at some locations. It's the crappiest place on earth.
It's going to be a small world.
And an industry trade group has advised against potentially risky activities like screaming on rides. For discussion, chime in anytime. Here we go. I thought children and teens ran a near zero risk of catching coronavirus.
That's what I thought.
And even less risk of dying from it.
That's what the science
two
says.
Two and up? Two? As a parent, is it okay if I call you a parent?
Yes, you can.
When your daughter was 2 years old, can you even wrap your head around the idea of putting a mask on her at 2 years old? And forget Disneyland. It'd be like, all right, honey, put this mask on.
Oh, she would love it.
And sit there.
Yeah.
And no talking. All right, now do that and put her on a ride.
Oh, yeah, she would just love it.
Kids, are, by definition, they're fidgety.
Right.
Right?
Touch their face 100,000 times, they're going to pull the mask right off.
Nothing says family fun like line up for temperature checks. Kids love getting their temperature checked. I mean, I realize it's not invasive. They're not sticking a thermometer in your mouth or giving you a rectal thermometer. Kids, like, once they see Disneyland, they're in the parking lot and they're jonesing, exactly. Man. And you're going to stop them and beep, wait in this long line. The lines are enough of a problem.
You're going to tell a 2-year-old not to scream or shout because they're excited? Come on.
You know what kids like more than getting their temperature checked? Delayed fun.
Oh, yeah.
So how are people supposed to be able to afford this shit show after losing their income and jobs over the last 12 months? I often wonder about the families who planned and especially saved money for years. Because, I mean, look, some people are, you know, don't make a lot of money. Family of four, that's expensive. Some people do. They save up for years. Disney could be their dream vacation.
Yes, they do.
I always wonder about the people who had been saving for their dream vacation. Let's say they forget even a state like Arizona, which is just a short drive to California. What if someone was like coming all the way from Europe or Africa or Asia somewhere, come all the way over here, and they get to Disneyland last year in 2020, only to fly across the country or the globe to find it closed.
Closed, right.
All of a sudden, you're the Griswolds. Right,
exactly.
Right. Yeah. Well, park's closed. Didn't move so sorry, I should have told you. Back to the article. The California parks have been shut down for more than a year. State officials lifted restrictions earlier this month, citing falling coronavirus cases. No, what that is, it's called Gavin Newsom knows his head's on the chopping block. Make no mistake about that. That's all that is. Although they kept in place some limits, including capping attendance at 15% capacity at Disneyland and barring out-of-state visitors.
15%? Really?
15%. So you can't tell me they're going to open up everything because simply the overhead won't 15% won't cover that. Sure, after being closed a year, Disney should be able to operate at 50% for California residents only, since those residents, along with New York, have been hit the hardest with the arbitrary shutdowns. Mm-hmm. Make no mistake, this whole opening Disneyland is a gift, in quotes, from Emperor Newsom, since he feels the heat from his recall. Nothing like knowing 2 million people plus hate you and signed off on your removal. I did. Before I left California, I drove 30 miles one way to sign that petition. Of course, after he wants identities verified. He has a recall coming, and he wants those identities verified for the signatures. You know, just like our presidential elections.
Yeah, exactly.
The article says, the California Attractions and Park Association, which has pushed the parks to be able to reopen, said members would be able to meet standards for health and safety, including guidance against activities like shouting and singing, by modifying seating on rides, encouraging masks and other measures. So there is no shout. So you're going to go to Disneyland.
The happiest place on earth, yeah.
And you're going to hear this. Ooh. Wee. Wee. I mean, look.
That's something else.
I could even sit there and tell you, well, I'm an adult. Maybe the kids can't control their shouting, but adults can't. No. Because, I mean,
what's the purpose of that, though?
Thank you. It's to let it rip and get that adrenaline rush and release some endorphins and relieve some stress. And they're supposed to be thrill rides.
Yeah.
They call them thrill rides. Well, last time when you were thrilled, no one went, oh. And by the way, they said no singing. Who the hell? Do you want to be the adult?
Happy place.
Do you want to be the adult walking around? Hey, shut up.
Right, exactly.
Lock it up.
To your 5-year-old?
Yeah, and then how are you enforcing that? Get out. I mean,
look, it's Belle.
Well,
Cinderella's over there. Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I know. You're right. I can't believe someone go, oh, that makes sense. Where is 15? First of all, I need to know how you came up with that arbitrary number. People aren't asking the right questions. How did you come up with 15%? Why not 17?
Yeah.
12? 20? Because there's got to be science behind that.
Right.
There should be some science behind it. Otherwise, you're just picking a number out of out of a hat. I think we could all agree, even the most amateur person would sit there and go, yeah, if you're going to roller coaster, chances are you're going to scream.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that, how do you justify opening? And to that, I do this parallel. I'm still learning my grocery store. You know, I'm learning all these places that were not here when I didn't live here. And, you know, I'm learning the grocery store, like mm-hmm. where the egg sections are.
Sure.
You have to learn, you know, mm-hmm. you get your route.
Yeah.
You get your route. In LA, it's paper, plastic, or recyclable bags. I always would use paper or recyclable. Eventually, California got rid of plastic bags altogether and plastic straws. But don't get me started, which is the dumbest shit ever. But, you know, save the turtles. Yeah. But let's keep buying a new cell phone every 15 minutes and throw that in a big electronic landfill. Yeah. But, you know, turtle genocide, that's the big problem right now. Well, they live to be 200 years old. If you've been on this planet 200 years and you don't know the difference between a fish and a straw, it's time to die,
yeah,
Tippy.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah,
turtle
exactly.
time's over. You
exactly.
Stupid upside down bull with legs. And I like animals. I love turtles.
I
had a pet turtle. I love animals, but I was like, fuck them. All right. Anyway. for real, though. You all right over there?
I'm all right.
You're going to open up the park where we know you're going to scream on a ride. So I go when I was at the grocery store, when I first moved into my place here, I had no food. I was moving cross country. I needed literally everything. I had like salt and pepper. And my first grocery was like $410, right? And I needed everything, right? So they gave me plastic bags. No joke. I had 63 bags of groceries because they were putting like one thing
in a bag.
Yeah, they're like, I empty a bag. I'm like, really? The butter? That gets its own separate bag? There was like only a handful of bags and like two or three items in it. It's like, Jesus, can we put more than one fucking thing in here? So I said, hey, next time I come here, if I bring my own recyclable bags, can I do that? And she goes, yes, but as long as you bag them yourself. I'm like, cool, no problem. First of all, I'll get it done way faster than the mutant that's doing it
right,
for me anyway.
Right.
Of course, the next time I brought my recyclable bags, and it was like I might have well put a bloody axe on the conveyor belt there. She goes, whoa, 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 sir, you can't use those. I said, I was told that if I bring my recyclable bags, I can pack them myself. And she goes, well, as long as your bags don't touch the shelf, like the conveyor belt there, you can touch the apples 67 times,
exactly.
And you put that in your cart, your buggy, and then I put that on the counter, the conveyor belt, for the cashier to ring it up. But my coronavirus bag of death, that's what's going to kill you. So that's my parallel. It's like, if you're going to tell me that my recyclable bag touching the counter will spread the coronavirus, but me touching every food item in this grocery store and then putting it in my cart and then touching it again to put it on the thing is not going to hurt you.
And the handles and all the areas
on the refrigeration
thing. Yeah.
Then you're basically admitting, like, this is a hoax. This is a hoax and this is a farce and none of this has science behind it. Back to Disney. And frankly, if they're that concerned that people may shout and or sing, then either A, you're breaking your own rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're that worried about it, then you know this is going to happen.
Right.
Considering asking people not to shout on the roller coaster is like asking people to have sex and not make any noise.
Are they going to have silence police around the park?
Don't even say that over the air.
Sorry.
Someone's going to go, oh, good idea. And B, you know the rule is complete bullshit, but you're saying this nonsense in the effort to make it seem like you're taking precautionary measures while still trying to control Americans, while at the same time looking generous and throwing residents a bone in letting them have some fun. I beg any of my listeners in California area who goes to Disneyland, yell, scream, sing, have fun. Send video to me, and I will hook you up with the new upcoming No Amateurs t-shirts. I can only imagine the debacles that are going to ensue when that park opens and someone gets ousted for screaming. How about this?
Can't believe it.
You're a parent, right?
Right.
Little kids, they run off.
Yeah.
And you try to keep a handle on them.
Yeah.
And hey, get it back here.
Yeah.
Get back here. That's shouting.
And they can't even say, I can't find my mom and dad because they're not allowed to say it. Right?
We have a lost child. Who are your you-know-whos? I did not even think of that.
See?
Well, you lose your kid. Say goodbye forever.
Yep.
They're gone. They're not allowed to ask for help. No asking for... who are your caregivers? 3-year-old. What the fuck is a caregiver?
Yeah, right?
I'm 3.
Ugh. What's going on?
I can only imagine the debacle that's going to ensue. Separating small kids from adults, safety issues, people getting hostile from being scolded about shouting and singing. A two-day ticket at Disneyland in Anaheim, not Disney World in Florida, in Anaheim, where this is happening. One park, meaning Disneyland, not Disneyland and California Adventure, for an adult, the ticket is $235.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. Child, $220. So for you, your wife, and your daughter, I don't know if she's, how old's your daughter?
She's 15.
I don't know, is that a discount at that age, or are you like under like
I'll
five
just tell
or
her,
something?
I'll just tell them at the gate that she's four.
She's 5'5" and she's 4 years old. But anyway, so you're looking at $655 for one day just to do Disneyland. If you decide to do Park Hopper, meaning Disneyland and California Adventure, it's $290 for an adult, $275 for a child. So
wow.
Let's just do this. A two-day ticket, one adult, to do Disneyland and California Adventure is $290. So for a family of four, $1,160. With limited seating, some rides and exhibits will be closed, and you're not allowed to scream. Oh, where do I sign
up?
What a great day. Kids, get in the car. Amateur Nation will retort the same way they've been retorting since March of last year when it came to masks and closures. Well, it's better than nothing. And that's exactly what the corrupt government, counts on.
Yep.
I'm curious as to what the California Adventure will be now. Take a selfie in front of the closed businesses exhibit. Cozy up to the meth addict homeless encampment fires. Ride the Newsom Express into Povertyville. And don't forget to check your rights to free speech upon entry. And on your way out, don't forget to pay homage to China that controls most of this family fun. Thank you. Thank you.
Well said.
Thank you. All right, time now for off-topic, some things we didn't cover here. Here we go. In light of the Cardi B is okay, but Dr. Seuss is not lunacy, I'll never forget where I was when my mom asked me what WAP meant.
What does WAP mean?
Wet-ass pussy. I was at dinner, and my mom's like, you know, we were talking about, isn't that crazy with Cardi B? Ugh. And that's okay, but Dr. Seuss is not. And I said, my mom goes, yeah, what is WAP? What does WAP mean anyway? And I'm like, I really don't
want to say it.
I don't. And she goes, just tell me. I go, all right, fine. Wet-ass pussy. And normally my mom would be like, oh, she just went, oh, my. I like when I'm dealing with an automated response menu, and when they ask for an answer, a gnat happens to land on a cotton ball 6 miles away, and the automation hears that as my response and then cuts me off. Oh. Yes, inanimate objects can be amateur. Oh, and by the way, technology never works. I mean, you can't breathe.
You can't.
Because if you go,
yep.
We didn't understand your response. Mother.
Yep, you know, anger.
Right, and then they're like, that is not a response. Either goodbye. Oh. I think it's not the fact that they say goodbye. It's they go, goodbye.
Yep.
It's like, nice try, asshole.
Yep.
That's the subtext
I'm
hearing.
Try it again.
2 weeks ago, the debut of the NHRA drag racing season in Gainesville had viewership up 27% from last year's season opener and the third highest season opener ever. The Grammys viewership went down 53% from last year.
Couldn't even watch it.
Now, I realize one is a sport and one is a one-time yearly music event. But the point is the audience demographics they reach and who watches, and that speaks volumes. One, the NHRA displays sportsmanship, promotes family, is pro-America, and is family entertainment. The other, borderline porn performances, self-righteous celebrities, plenty of virtue signaling, and patting themselves on the back while claiming oppression. Now, granted, the Grammys was, quote, the most streamed Grammy show ever with 83% more live streams compared to 2020, according to the Washington Post. But to that, I would be curious to know, what was the average time spent streaming it? How long did these streamers stay with the show? And 83% growth is impressive, but what is the actual number?
Yeah.
Cut the crap. We all know the Grammys have sucked since they gave Jethro Tull Metal Album of the Year over Metallica. Now add politics, corruption at the highest level in the music industry with flat-out payola happening, entitled victim-type performers, and you can see who the core audience is that they're appealing to. Amateurs. Time now for three pro things. Three things that are done right. Number one. Now, I realize you may not have anything to contribute here, Brian, but feel free to chime in anything.
Go for it.
Number one, Josh Hart. He's a top fuel driver of the NHRA. Get this. It was his first time ever in a Top Fuel final. Top Fuel is the pinnacle.
Good for him.
It's first time ever. He's not, you know, multi-million-dollar sponsors, right? He's a guy who works on his Top Fuel director in his garage on the weekends. His first time in a final.
And it's hard to get there.
And he's at a legendary track in Gainesville, Florida. On his first try, he won.
Wow.
This humble and grateful gentleman was in shock when he was interviewed at the finish line. He beat the Rookie of the Year, Justin Ashley, veteran Clay Milliken, and three-time world champion, three- or four-time world champion, Steve Torrence, to get to the finals, where he beat Sean Langdon, who is no slouch. Hart is a two-time U.S. Nationals top alcohol dragster champion, so he knows a thing or two about performing on a big stage, but he did it in his home state, so get in on the ground floor with this guy to be a fan of his. Hart joined a short list of drivers who have won in their professional debut and became the first driver to accomplish the feat in Top Fuel since the late Darrell Russell all the way back in 2001. It was a true David versus Goliath type of day for Josh Hart.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love stories like that.
That's awesome.
Number two. NHRA Pro Stock motorcycle rider Matt Smith. You want to talk about a good day at the office. Smith, he was aboard his Denso EBR bike. He earned the 27th title of his career when he stopped Ryan Ehler in the final round. Smith ran more than 200 miles an hour on his motorcycle on every run on Sunday, including the final. Here's why that's significant. This is why it's on Three Pro Things. Getting into the 200 mile per hour club on a pro stock motorcycle is tough. Right now, I want to say there's only six people that have done it. I watched him set the world record in Pomona. He got to 200, and then he set the world record all in the same day. He did that four times in one day.
Wow.
That's next level. And doing 200 miles an hour and four elimination runs on the same day, that's insanity. All right, number three.
That's crazy.
Here's your headline. Greg Anderson celebrates his 60th birthday with his 95th career pro stock victory in Gainesville. Yes, all three of the three pro things are NHRA related. Anderson now has 95 career wins in pro stock. He's just two wins behind legendary Warren Johnson, who I used to see when I was a little kid. Five of those wins have come in Gainesville. And this happened on his birthday, too. I see Greg Anderson getting to 100 wins before season's end. Did you have a good time?
I did. Really appreciate it, man.
Will you do this again?
Heck yeah.
Before we wrap up, money. Special thanks to Podcorn for sponsoring this episode. You can check out sponsorship opportunities for your podcast and start monetizing by simply going to podcorn.com/podcasters. I also want to thank Brian Kelly for taking the time to be a guest on the show, and I do hope you'll come back.
I will come back.
If you read or saw something or something happened to you that was amateur-related, or if you have a comment, criticism, or you're an advertiser who wants to reach people who have common sense, email me, lou@louciantini.com, and download my book from Amazon, subscribe to my YouTube page, hear the show on 16 podcast platforms, because Amateur Nation is not just a podcast, it's a movement. Brian, we're out of here.
Awesome.
See you next time. Remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a Big Major production.
Bye, Lou. I'm gonna miss you.
There's been an odd shift in human behavior over the last 15 plus years. A sense of entitlement. A constant need for attention.
Ironically coupled with the need to be left alone.
A desire to be treated the same as everyone else. Stupidly combined with the mindset of, I'm special, so treat me accordingly.
Introducing the book, Amateur Nation. The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills. The second edition. Inside, you'll read,
The Amateur Mission Statement.
The 30 Truths About Amateurs. The 4 Stages of Being an Amateur. Amateur Habitats and History. Social Media plus Me, Me, Me equals Amateur.
Technology and Amateur Behavior.
With dozens of real funny photos, weird signs, and laugh out loud real life accounts and actual conversations vividly showing how us pros are surrounded by Amateur Nation every day. Download the expanded second edition of the ebook Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills.
The second expanded edition, available now.
Be a pro. Go to Amazon. Type Amateur Nation.